This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Breathing techniques and visualization are staples of yoga and meditation practices, but these methods are now in a most unexpected place, the battlefield. A new Army program incorporates mindfulness techniques into training, and joining me now is WUNC's military reporter, Jay Price. Welcome back, Jay.
Glad to be here, friend.
Tell us about this training program.
Well, to a degree, it goes back to kind of a new Army philosophy, kind of a framework they call it, for everything, mainly for their training, but also for everything from science to technology, that's focused on the people. It's called the human dimension, which is kind of, you know, your usual degree of Army jargon in a way. But what it is it's just focusing on the soldiers and, to a degree, the Army civilians rather than simply fancier weaponry. And in this case, this is something they wanted to institute, something that they've decided they would like to spread across the Army, but they haven't been able to get rolling with it. And a colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Phil Kinnery down at Fort Bragg, just happened to be talking to a sports psychologist once at a visit to a university campus, and a light bulb went off. Lieutenant Colonel Kinnery has a master's degree in adult education, and a lot of things suddenly came together for him. And he went to a group of psychologists that they have on the base. He found out they had exactly the same kind, essentially, of folks that do sports psychology. They're called performance experts, specially trained psychologists, in a program called the Comprehensive Soldier and Family Fitness. They were exactly what he needed to get this sort of training going. At the same time, he talked to some scientists with the Army's Research Center up in Natick, Massachusetts, and they've started coming down, studying the soldiers. Essentially, the scientists, these PhD-level scientists, are embedding with his unit, and not just like studying them as if they were in a lab, studying some specific thing that they're doing for 30 minutes. They watch them all day and are able to kind of learn a lot more from that than they would from studying something in the lab.
So greater emphasis on the soldier and taking a look at who these human beings are rather than sort of these are practices you all get with it, you know, the Army way, do it. Get that. But what are the practices? What are the kinds of things now that they're being taught?
Well, the psychologists from the Soldier and Family Fitness Program are pretty practical folks, and they're out there teaching them pretty straightforward techniques to essentially do things like tune out extraneous thoughts, the things that really aren't part of what they need to do to get their job done that day, be it jumping out of an aircraft, which is a lot more complicated than it sounds. It's not simply flinging yourself out. There's a long windup, a long sequence of things you do before you jump out of that aircraft, and a long sequence of things you do as you're coming down and, you know, once you get on the ground. And things you have to be prepared for. You have to be flexible, mentally flexible to react if something goes wrong or something changes around you. So they kind of get them in, you know, what athletes call the zone is one way to look at it. But they're also just working with them on avoiding things that aren't helpful to getting through the day.
I would think that a veteran military personnel, particularly those who have seen combat, have already figured this out. They have, or they wouldn't be veteran military personnel. You know what I mean? I mean, to some extent, learning how to tune out and stay focused on the mission when there's a lot of noise around you is what allows you to come back.
Exactly. And this is one of the things behind, one of the catalysts behind what Lieutenant Colonel Kinnery wants to do with the unit and what the Army wants to do here. They have a fabulous wealth of combat experience among their senior leadership, particularly their senior NCOs, the sergeants and corporals that do the kind of the frontline leadership. These guys and gals have been to combat quite a bit in many cases, and they've learned things that are difficult to teach.
So you get some things that you've learned from hard experience, but mindfulness practice is a practice that's ancient. It goes back millennia. It's usually used in spiritual domains. They're bringing some of this teaching directly onto the base, right? And it's becoming more, pardon the expression, mindful and deliberate and happening not through experience but through training. So this is what's a little bit different about this.
Sure. They're teaching them, for example, breathing techniques. And, you know, these senior sergeants who've been in combat were a bit skeptical, is what Lieutenant Colonel Kennery tells me. Many of them were skeptical. And then they discovered a lot of this was were things that they were doing naturally because they had a lot of experience. They kind of survived not just combat, but also had been promoted up through the Army and been vetted again and again and again as they got promoted. They were doing things the right way. They might not have had a vocabulary for it, but the light bulb started to go off for them too.
But now they're doing the training. And it's interesting because it's still the military. So again, if you think about mindful practice, meditation, the idea of letting go of a thought, not being trapped by your own thoughts and thrown around by extraneous thought, that's meditation. But I'm sitting on a cushion. I'm in a quiet room. I've got a yoga mat. So you talked to Megan Halbrook about training. You're right in the middle of the action while she's explaining this to you. Let's listen.
So this is, we call this M-Wave. It's just biofeedback. So all you do is you attach this to your ear, and then you press the start button. It starts recording your heart rate, all right? And then from there, you talk through. But what this will help do is it'll help get you into a level of what we call. All it is, it's a balance between like your fight or flight and your rest and digest, your systems, right? If we can get those to be balanced, then the time, the space between your heartbeats actually becomes more consistent.
Got that? That's Megan Halbrook, a psychologist who uses biofeedback software. So what was going on there? In between the gun bursts?
Megan was trying to explain to a group of soldiers who were between practice exercises with machine guns how the one of these iPad instruments she uses, they have special software on the iPad and this kind of ear clip sensor, how you can use this to help you get into the zone, a state of coherence, they call it. You know, it was almost comical. You know, I kind of wanted to laugh while this was going on. But for them, this was the exact source of the stress.
Right.
On one hand, on the other, it was just business as usual for her and for them, too. All this machine gun noise in the background kept interrupting her, but she just acted like it wasn't there.
So what about this? But it does sound like stuff that comes from a yoga, parlor and not necessarily a combat, a briefing room. Was there resistance at first to moving into this kind of training?
Well, apparently some of the as I said, the senior NCOs were kind of skeptical of it. Not so much because they thought, oh, it came from a yoga parlor or it has something to do with mindfulness. I don't think many of them knew the background of it. It was presented to them by psychologists, and they were thinking, oh, well, these psychologists are going to come in and try to tell us our business. But then they discovered, well, I'm doing many of these things. It is true that the traditions of it aren't necessarily tied to yoga and in some cases aren't tied to religion or serenity or peacefulness.
Right. So you spoke with one of the commanders about some of the changes that they've seen in the training and describing their experience. Let's talk about one of the sergeants who observed this, is Sergeant Kennery?
No, that's this Lieutenant Colonel Kennery. This is the guy who brought in all these performance experts to train his troops.
Let's listen.
And he immediately went to one of his soldiers and put his arm on his shoulder and said, hey, you know what you're doing. Take a deep breath. I asked him why he did that. He said, hey, he'd been through all the training that with the performance expert. He said, hey, in his eyes, I know the kid, he didn't look like he was all there. And I wanted to stop him, calm him down before he made a mistake because I know he knows what he's doing. Instead of letting him go and saying, you did it wrong, let's do it again. Now we focused him. Because he got excited, because of the environment that everything's going on in, the adrenaline rush that he has. And now I've got NCOs that are, instead of saying, you did that wrong, they're actually catching it before it happens just by their facial expressions.
This Lieutenant Colonel Phil Kennery talking about observations of his training at Fort Bragg. So this gets back to what you said earlier. It's not just the kind of training, mindfulness, breathing and awareness, but also sort of paying attention to some of the cues rather than just sort of shouting and saying, do it again. A whole different approach to training.
Yeah, I mean, what he's describing there is watching one of his young sergeants grabbing one of his young soldiers who's about to do a live fire training exercise. Very stressful. They're using a lot of ammunition. They're about to enter a building and start shooting around other soldiers. He saw something in the kid's eyes and just said, hey, wait a minute. But at that point, this sergeant was tuned in to looking for somebody who's not in the right state of mind to execute without making mistakes. this is a big deal. I mean, this is all about not just what to think, but how to think. And it could be a huge thing for Army culture if this really takes hold. It could really erode that stereotype of the sergeant chewing out the young recruit and making him repeat the same task again and again and again for getting it wrong. If he knows that soldier knows the information that he needs to do that task, then he's got to ask himself, okay, why has this soldier made a mistake? And it might have something to do with something going on in the soldier's home life. The soldier's used up all of his bandwidth mentally with six or eight things that have nothing to do with the exercise in front of him, and then you just need to get him focused.
What would it take to have this take hold? In other words, they have to be measuring the outcomes. What are the results they're looking for?
They're not quite sure what they're going to be able to measure and not measure at this point. That's one of the things the scientists are coming down from Massachusetts looking for right now is they're going to determine what can and can't be measured. Some of this may not be able to be put into data. But they're already kind of starting to spread it. I mean, they believe it's effective, and there's no reason to think it wouldn't be given the use of the same techniques at high-end sports. They believe that it's going to be effective, and they've already spread this pilot program to four more battalions. This is a battalion of 800 soldiers. That's pretty big. The entirety of the fighters, the guys carrying guns for Marine Special Operations, is 600. This is 800 in this battalion. They've spread it to four more battalions already in just the past few months, and it seems likely to spread.
Jay Price, military reporter for WNC. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Frank.
Just ahead, are magic and religion separate concepts? One author explores the magic of Islam, and you'll hear about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.